Okay, it's Erev Parshas Chayei Sara, and although I understand that Shabbos Chevron this year has been banned, not by the yeshiva this time, but by broader powers that be, but still there's something about it being Erev Shabbos Chayei Sara, always seems to come out this way, that it's a week that we think about L'spayd L'sara V'liv Kaisa. Think about Hesped, think about Bechia. And it's strange that in years past, and this year too, the third week or so of Cheshvin, which is also the time of the Mabul, always ends up being a time of tragedy. And this year no different. Rabbi Nalik just got up from Shiva this morning, sitting Shiva for his brother, younger brother, with special needs. His next door neighbor, Nebuch, a friend of mine, one of the sharpest, smartest, funniest people that I've ever met in my life. They say that he was valedictorian of his class at Yale University. Left it for a life of Torah and Avodah. He was a Masmid Atzum, Marbitz Torah. A young person, couldn't have been much more than 60, most probably less than 60. And then, of course, those of you from England, so England had a loss. Rabbi Sachs, who I don't know very much about, but everything that you read seems very, very impressive. And of course, Reb David Feinstein. I won't say very much other than the fact that I was involved in a conversation about 2 years ago. One of the biggest askanim in the world had somebody on the phone with Reb David Feinstein, and he said to him, just be makir that you're on the phone with the Gadol Ador. But I'll tell you the truth, I still have another week to be dud, and I don't have it in me to talk about depressing things. I have to get through the next week, and we have to keep on pumping, and we have to keep on going. And although it's important to be makir what's going on, but instead of talking about L'spayd L'sara V'liv Kaisa, so I decided to focus on another aspect of the parsha. Much more exciting aspect, because right after we get through with Sara's Kvura, so we move on to the topic of Shidduchim. Avraham Avinu has to find the Shidduch for Yitzchak. See, he calls in his trusted Eliezer. V'Avram zokein ba bayomim, Hashem berach es Avram bakol. He had it all. V'yomer Avram el avdei zekan beisai, ha-moshel b'chol asher loy, simno yodcho tachas yirechi. Swear on my bris milah. I'm going to send you, and you're going to get a shirach for Yitzchak. Eliezer goes, he has his kvitzas aderech. He ends up in Narayim. We hear the story once, twice, number of times. The Medrash tells us, Chazal tells us, Yofes Sichosan Shal Avdei Avos Mitorosan Shal Banim. That the talk of the Avadim, of the Avos, is more important than the Torah of the children. And finally, after Eliezer signs the deal with Rivka, and Rivka agrees to go back, so we have a very, very incredible scene. The Torah tells us, "Vatokam Rivka v'nareseha." Rivka and her maidens take off. "Vatirkavna l'gmalim." They ride on the camels. "Vatelach nachrei ish." "Vayikach eves Rivka v'yelach." They go. And it says, V'Yitzchak boi mi boi ber l'chai roi. Yitzchak, the Netziv says, Yitzchak came a long way to ber l'chai roi. He came all the way from Beer Sheva, because that's where they lived at the time. and he lived at, he davened at Be'er Lachai Roi, and it says, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basare, davened in the field. It doesn't really mean that he davened in the field, and it says, because that's Aser. Not allowed to daven in the field. Nowadays, I'm stuck davening in the field. But generally speaking, you can't do it. What it means is, says the Netziv, he was in Be'er Lachai Roi, and he was davening towards the field. Yerushalayim, Har Moriah is the field. That's where he was davening. Batisa Rivka Eseineha. Rivka picks up her eyes. Batera Es Yitzchak. And she sees Yitzchak. Batipol Me'al Gomel. And she falls off of the camel. At least that's what it seems to say. Take a look at Unklis. Take a look at Rashi. They both say Vatipo Me'al Gomel doesn't mean she fell off. She tipped. She tilted. Kilo, she wanted to get off. She sees Yitzchak, what's going on? And she asks Eliezer, Vatimer Eleven, Mio Isha Lazer, who is this guy? That's my master. It's Yitzchak. So according to Rashi, according to Unklis, she tips down. She's curious. Who is this? She sees that it's Yitzchak and she puts on a veil. The Netziv tells us a very different story. The Netziv tells us that, you know, we think that the Chesed Lavram, Pachad Yitzchak. Pachad Yitzchak is referring to who? Is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the fear of Yitzchak. The Netziv says Pachad Yitzchak is referring to Yitzchak. Yitzchak was a scary human being. When Rivka saw Yitzchak, she saw Yitzchak in the middle of Tefillah, and he didn't look like a human being. He looked like a malach. He looked more fiery than a malach. He looked like a being from another realm. And she was awestruck. Pachad Yitzchak. Yitzchak's awesome. Yitzchak's scary. I remember when I first moved to Telstone, so oftentimes on Friday night, I used to go up to Neve Tzion to daven up there at the top of the hill. And the Menah will always speak, still does. So one of the stories he told there was they used to bring the guys, you know, back in, I don't know, the 80s. They used to bring the guys to the Stipler, to visit the Stipler. And the Stipler, you know, was known, he had Ruach HaKadosh. So the guys from Neve used to come in, and they walk in the door, and the Stipler was blind. And a guy came in, and the Stipler would say, "Where's your tzitzis? Where's your tzitzis?" Another guy came in and he would start screaming, "Mechalel Shabbos, Mechalel Shabbos." That's scary. I remember I heard those stories. I was like, I'm not sure whether I would have liked to go to here to go see the Stipler, you know? The scary human being. But Rivka, when she first saw Yitzchak, it was Pachad Yitzchak. It wasn't love at first sight. It was awe at first sight. It was fear. Fear, intimidation at first sight. And therefore, says the Netziv, Vatipo Me'ala Gomel, she fell off of the Gomel. She fell off. Pashit couldn't get back on. But here's the wild part of the story. The Netziv says that it was all Ashgacha Pratis. Because if things had happened normally, and Yitzchak didn't decide to take a long road trip to go daven at Be'er Lachai Roi that day, Rivka, when she would have gotten back to Be'er Sheva, the first one she would have met and spoken to was Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was a real nice person, real warm, an ish chesed. It's like sitting and talking with the Mashkiach. You know, you can go and you can sit and talk for 2.5-3 hours. It's no problem, right? Warm, smiley, geschmack. And then, when Rivka would have met Yitzchak, it wouldn't have been so bad. Because she would have realized, look what a nice, sweet family I'm getting into. But Hashem didn't want that to happen. Hashem wanted her first impression of her new husband to be this fiery angel, this scary human being who she's going to be married to for the rest of her life. and there's no initiation by Avraham Avinu, the first thing that you see is, oh, Pachad Yitzchak. And Zakta Netziv, for the rest of their lives, the relationship between Rivka and Yitzchak was one where she was intimidated of her husband. She covered her face because she realized that he's beyond me. I'm embarrassed at how small I am next to this person who I'm going to marry. And therefore she covered her face. She covered her face with the veil. Says the Netziv, why was this necessary? So he says it was necessary because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a situation where Yaakov was going to have to steal the brachas. Had Rivka and Yitzchak had a relationship where she wasn't so intimidated, so what most likely would have happened was she would have shared with Yitzchak, listen, you know, Esav, he's got some problems. Because that's what a wife does. That's what Sarah did. Sarah and Avram, they had it out. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kol Asher Tomer Sarah Shema B'Kayla. Listen to her. She's right. Listen to your wife. Yaakov and Leah, Yaakov and Rachel, they went toe-to-toe. Yitzchak and Rivka, never. She was too intimidated. And so therefore, Yitzchak goes until the end thinking that Esav is the man. And Yaakov has to steal the brachas. And that's exactly what Hashem wanted. Now, why did Yaakov have to steal the brachas? Okay, that's chapter 2. That's for next week. But the point that I want to talk about today is that the Olam makes a very, very big mistake on this Netziv, the famous Netziv. The Olam wants to say, how could Netziv say such a thing? He's saying that Yitzchak and Rivka, they didn't have shalom bias. She was intimidated of her husband. She couldn't even tell her husband about what Esav was like. What kind of business is that? She'd be able to be open about everything. It's a big mistake. Because the Netziv never says anything like that. It says that it was a relationship which is initiated by a pachad, and that colored the relationship. But the mutual respect that they had, and the ava that they had, as the pasuk attests to, it's interesting. Vayikach Rivka batihilei le'isha. He takes Rivka, makes him his wife, and then vayeoveha. After he marries her, then he loves her. Love is a verb, not a noun. Not a description of a feeling. He takes her as his wife, and then he loves her. The love was there. The mutual respect was there. But there was that initial pachad that colored the relationship forever. Is that a steer to shalom bias? Or perhaps we just don't really understand what shalom bias is. Or perhaps we don't really understand what covet is. That's what I'd like to talk about for a couple of minutes tonight. Just to give an example, going back to the story that happened, again, a couple of years ago, I can't go into the details. But unfortunately, a number of years ago, I became thrust into a situation, a horrible, horrible situation. It was a situation of pikuach nefesh and shailos chamuris ad me'oid. In the middle of the week, I ended up spending 2 days in the hospital with a person very close with. All kinds of horrible situation going on. He wasn't from Eretz Yisrael. He had flown in from America. And the one that he wanted to talk to about the situation was none other than Michal Shurkin. So I was in a good situation then because my son was driving Rabbi Shurkin every day in those days. 3 times a day, I think. And it took all afternoon until I got him on the phone. And I told him, listen, this is what's going on, and you know, whatever, we need to talk to you, we want to talk to you, you know, because where could you fit us in? So he said, no problem, let's just go along for the ride together, and you know, we'll talk about it in the car. And it was about a half an hour long car ride. I wish that I had a tape recording. And I can't share with you what the Shiloh was. But all I can say is, it was, to me, I was just blown away by how he knew exactly what question to ask, what were the pivotal points over here, how he obviously shotsed up the person that he was talking to instantaneously. And at the end of the day, he didn't want to give an answer, although I feel inside that there was an answer. And the person said, what should I do? And the hadracha that he gave him was, there's a Jew, Reb David Feinstein, in New York. He's a Talmid and a son. Give him a call. I walked out of the car with a feeling that I still walk around with, a feeling that, Baruch Hashem, that there are people in the world like this. Baruch Hashem, there are people who can assess a situation the way that he did. But this is a different level of a human being. It's a different plane. It's a different standpoint. And he called me over, you know, in his Rabbi Shurkin way that night. I made it into the base medrash for about 10, 15 minutes somehow that night. He was like, you know, I feel bad. I don't feel like I gave him anything. I was like, Rebbe, what are you talking about? You cut down everything to its proper perspective. You isolated all of the issues. He walked away feeling so good. Okay. There are people and there are people. There's covet and there's covet. There are human beings and there are different human beings. Our problem is that we grew up in a country where the holy words of the Constitution say that all men are created equal, which is 100% true. And that's what the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, that kol adam shiro'i lo'i li'es tzadik k'moshe rabbeinu, a Russia kiravam. Everybody is created equal. Everybody has an equal choice to become like Moshe Rabbeinu or Yeravam ben Nevat. He continues, he can be a chacham, he can be a sachal, he can be a balmidas, he can be a mushchas amidas. And that we're all equal. But there are different people. There are people who make it to a certain point in life, and there are people who deserve a certain type of respect and more of a respect. And there are people who are not that. You have a Rebbe. A Rebbe is supposed to be treated a certain way. You have a father. A father is supposed to be treated a certain way. You have a mother. A mother is supposed to be treated a certain way. You have a friend that's covet abrius. But the covet of a person, of a friend, and the covet of a father, and the covet of a mother, and the covet of a husband, and the covet of a wife, and the covet of a Rebbe, and the covet of a Talmud Chacham, and the covet of a Talmud Chacham Atzum, they're all covet. They're all giving the proper weight. But the relationship is determined by who the two people are. And that's what happened with Yitzchak and Rivka. Yitzchak and Rivka didn't have a distorted relationship. There was no perversion in the relationship because of the fact that she was intimidated by him. No. You meet people who you're intimidated by. Sometimes you lose it over time. Sometimes you don't. But you have to act in sync with the reality of the situation. Give them the respect that they deserve. Follow your perception. And be honest and good and true and loving based on how the situation is. That's the lesson that we learn from Yitzchak and Rivka. And that's something that we really have to apply to our everyday life. It's a new fad in the world. Yesterday I talked about neo-lumdis. There's another neo-movement in the world where, you've heard it here already. You've heard it in yeshiva because, it's something that we're trying to avoid, but, Sometimes you think that you're losing. Now, people think that, you know, in order to be a good Rebbe, a Rebbe is supposed to be a friend. A father is supposed to be a friend. A Rebbe is supposed to be a friend. I'll never forget it. One of my father's friends, when I met them, well, it must have been 7 or 6 or 7 years old. The kids start calling their father by his first name. I was flabbergasted. So, well, okay. All men are created equal. If you want to have a sprach with me, if you want to have a relationship with me, so then we have to be on the same level. It's not true. People have to be sensitive. People have to be able to be sensitive to where another person is and where he's coming from. And that goes both ways. It goes from when you're looking down and also from when you're looking up. One of the greatest privileges that I have in my position is that I'm zeicher to be in a beis medrash where I'm able, today I feel it less than I did in the old days, but in the old days for sure, to both be on the giving end and the receiving end at the same time, from different people. To have people that I'm trying to teach. On the other hand, I still have my Rebbe in the beis medrash. And it's a different relationship going both ways. You'd be sensitive to the person who you're giving to, but also sensitive to the one you're receiving from. On my end, I still, I still try to come to the point where it's easy to relate. But on the other hand, if it's not that way, people should never ever think that it's a chisaron. Because kavod means giving the right amount of respect based on who the person is. Rivka saw Yitzchak differently and she was supposed to. And she acted in kind. It's not like the world says it, oh, there was no shalom bias over there. Chas v'shalom. That's not what he says. But it's something that we have to apply to all of our relationships, whether it's as an equal or whether it's as a father, a mother, taking care of a father, taking care of a mother, treating a Rebbe the way that you're supposed to treat a Rebbe, treating a Talmud the way that you're supposed to treat a Talmud. And Be'ez Hashem, we do that so then we can be Mekayim, V'ahavta L'Reyecha Kameicha, and all types of kavod in the ultimate sense. I just want to be mechazik myself and the rest of the guys under circumstances. Look, I'm not there. So it's hard for me to really have a pulse on what's going on. But at least as far as the shiurim and everything like that, I want to give a yashar koach to everybody for keeping me going over the past week. Have a couple more days to go. Be'ez Hashem, a week from today, I hope to already be in yeshiva. But everybody, chazak v'ematz. And one day after the other, keep on steiging, keep on learning the sugya, and Be'ezras Hashem very soon, so this Gzeras Bidud will be over, and I'll be able to be back in the confines of the yeshiva with you. Everybody, have a good Shabbos.